It is Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. Welcome to the show, loves. And I just spent 2 hours talking about a newspaper nobody reads anymore, which I'm sorry, but I do find some humor in that. And there are so many, business lessons to be learned from the collapse of the Buffalo News. And in this line of work, one of the lessons that is to be learned is you can't go into every show with the idea that 50% of the people who sample you are going to hate you. Now, there's going to be a certain percentage who are going to hate me no matter what. I mean, it doesn't matter. Certain percentage you'll hate David. It doesn't matter. But when you almost intentionally try to do it, you got yourself a little bit of a problem, and you sow what you reap, and you reap what you sow. So anyway, got myself out of that one. Anyway, I want to continue something that I started yesterday, but frankly, I started it too late because I'm an idiot, and I didn't give you guys a chance to talk because by the time I opened up the phones, it was almost time to say ciao. So I want to avoid that today. I did a show a few months ago, and I can't tell you when I did it. I don't know. These things all run together in my mind. But I want to know, and I want to know where you are on God. Do you believe in God? Are you somebody with your own pew in church? A reserved seat in church? How often is it that you go to church? I'm amazed at the number of people who say, well, I'm a Christian. Well, how often do you go to church? Well, Christmas Eve and Easter. Okay. I guess that's the express lane of Christianity. I'm just saying, doesn't show a lot of dedication, doesn't show a lot of stick-to-itness. But what are your thoughts on God? And do you believe God exists? What religion are you? Are you Roman Catholic? Are you Protestant? Are you Muslim? Are you Hindu? Are you Jewish? What are you? And how seriously does it affect your life? And I'm really, really curious. I mean, I would say that probably 90% of the homes in Western New York have the Bible somewhere on a bookshelf in the house. But when's the last time you actually open up and read it? Some of you probably every day, and you live your faith, and that shows consistency and dedication. Now, the one thing, let me give you the phone number now so I can get calls on, because I'd much rather hear what you have to say than what I have to say. 803-0930 is the phone number. Star 930 on the cell phone, 1-800-616-WBEN, 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. Do you believe in God? And I welcome everybody to call in. You might be an atheist. Do you really think I'm going to ream you for being an atheist? You're entitled to your views. I suppose at the end of the day, I mentioned this yesterday, I would probably be more in line with being a deist, D-E-I-S-T, than any other religious philosophy. In other words, I do believe very strongly that there is a creator. I don't believe that this whole universe happened because of some cosmic accident. To me, that just doesn't seem to add up. It just doesn't seem to make sense. But hey, just to a lot of people of the scientific community, it does. And they don't believe in God. But, you know, I mean, there are things that I always wonder about. For example, hey, if I was born on Easter Island 1,000 years ago, I never would have heard of Jesus. So am I going to rot in hell because I was born in the wrong place at the wrong time? That doesn't seem very fair, does it? I'm very curious what your belief is in God and in the church you happen to attend. I don't need names of churches. So just to give you some background, and before I even give you the background, let me just say this. I'm not going to yell or scream or get angry with whatever your faith happens to be, because that is un-American and it's not cool, and frankly, it makes really bad radio. Your faith is your faith, and who in the hell am I to say you're wrong? At the same time, I will tell you that despite the fact that I am not a Christian, I'm not a Jew, I'm not a Muslim, although in my family tree, it's really a hodgepodge of everything. It's rather humorous. But anyway, I don't adhere to any specific faith. But to be brutally honest with you, and I don't know any other way to be with you because you guys remember what I say more than I remember what I say. Christianity, the New Testament in particular, I find particularly fascinating. I find the Gospels to be fascinating because they read exactly like I would expect various accounts from various disciples to read. There are variations in each account. It's not like they're all the same thing. And that is exactly what you would expect to see in eyewitness statements of given events. So I do find the New Testament very intriguing, okay? I especially like the part about forgiveness of sins because, well, anyway, so the other thing is, don't laugh. Please do not laugh at this. But the other thing that intrigues me about Christianity is, do I dare say this? Okay, I'm going to say it. The Shroud of Turin. Because I mentioned this yesterday, I've watched every documentary I can get my hands on the Shroud of Turin. And I have seen people try to duplicate the Shroud of Turin, and I'm sorry, but none of the skeptics come close to duplicating the Shroud of Turin. And the pathologists who have examined the wounds on the Shroud of Turin are amazed at the neuromuscular responses that are clearly visible on the shroud that a medieval forger would have a really hard time figuring out. And the other thing about the Shroud of Turin is most medieval portrayals of Jesus on the cross show the nails through his hands. Well, look at the anatomy of hands, okay? The guy on the shroud was very powerfully built, about 5'10", 5'11", and those nails would not have supported his body. The Romans were pretty good at crucifixion. They do 10, 20,000 at a time and call it a day's work. They knew that the nail had to be between the radius and the ulna to properly support the weight of the body. And in so doing, the nerve that led to the thumb would have caused the thumb to contract inward, and that's right there on the Shroud of Turin. So the Shroud of Turin, how do I say this? I guess I'll say it the same way I've always said it. It intrigues me because there's so much about it that makes logical sense from a medical point of view, from an evidentiary point of view. And moreover, nobody's found any paint pigment on the shroud. The blood on the shroud matches the blood type that is on the face covering that is somewhere else in Europe. I forget where. I will be very brutally honest. The Shroud of Turin intrigues me, and it intrigues me because it looks like pretty strong evidence of something supernatural taking place. It's not paint. They haven't found paint on the Shroud of Turin. And as far as the radiocarbon dating, and I was suspicious of this at the time. The radiocarbon dating put the date of the Shroud in the Middle Ages. But here's the question. Did they take the original Shroud, or did they take a piece of the Shroud that had been sewn on by nuns after a fire? Because garbage in, garbage out. I'd like to see more radiocarbon dating done of the Shroud, in particular the image part of the Shroud, which, good luck with that. The Vatican is never going to allow that to happen. Well, maybe they will. But Christianity does fascinate me. Jesus's philosophy does fascinate me, but I'm not a Christian. I'm very open to evidence. Very open to evidence, because if you close your mind to evidence and new information, you're truly a stupid person. And I don't mean that in a nasty sense, but you need to look at facts, and if facts change, opinions ought to change with them. But anyway, that's my little beginning of the show, and the rest of it is up to you. Because I don't feel like talking that much today. I'd much rather hear where you guys are on this whole God thing. And it doesn't matter to me what faith you are, and it doesn't matter to me if you are of no faith. You can be a Satanist for all I care. 803, do we have any Satanists listening to this station? 803, oh, no, because they're too busy sacrificing people. 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. So, as promised, I'm bringing back a show that you guys liked several months ago, The God Show. The God Show. Not The Gong Show, The God Show. Let's go to Ron in Cheektowaga. Ron, where are you on all this stuff?
Well, I do believe in God. I am a Roman Catholic, and I'm not just a Sunday morning Christian. I do go to church sometimes during the week when I'm not working. I'll go to church on Sundays and the holy days. And what I mean by a Sunday morning Christian, I love the people that, boy, as soon as they go to church, they're the first ones out the door, and come Monday, they do whatever, you know, and then go back to church again on Sunday. I went to Catholic high school or Catholic school through grade school all the way through high school. When I got to college, I was totally, like you want to call it, liberated. But you have to have a purpose in your life. And I really believe that if you're sincere with your religion and you do practice it, it does give you a purpose.
So When you talk about the Sunday morning Christians, could you elaborate a little bit more about that?
Well, you see the people, like I said, on the Sunday they go. They'll be out the ones drinking. They'll be in church, you know, on Sunday. They're just there making an appearance, you know, letting everyone know that they're in church and things like that. But when it comes to a perfect example, I knew a guy who was a practicing Catholic, saw a guy on the road, one of the guys he worked with, in a ditch on a snowstorm one time, looked at him and drove right on by. That's not what Christianity teaches. Christianity teaches that you take care of each other. Doesn't matter who it is or what it is, what color, what, it doesn't matter. And the people I refer to as Sunday morning Christians are the ones who go and supposedly hear the word, but they don't practice it.
And when you go to church on Sundays, we'll leave the weekdays out of it. What would the, no, and I'm only asking because what would the demographic be? Is it basically a bunch of older people and very few younger families? What is it?
Well, what's kind of nice at our church, we do have, it's kind of a weird mix because it seems like you have the older people and you have the ones with the younger families, and the ones kind of like in the middle, they're kind of like lost. They're not there. You know what I mean? Like, I would say the ones who are just bringing up the children and stuff, I guess maybe because they want them baptized or go through that. And then after that, there's that like lull in the congregation.
Interesting. I'll be curious as to what other people have to say about that, my friend. Thank you kindly for the call. I appreciate it. A Roman Catholic calling in, and I'm curious where you are on God. Do you believe in God? Do you adhere to a specific faith? I promised I would do this again, and I'm doing it today because I love you. And because if I didn't do it, you guys would call me out on it and say, you made a promise, and I'd have some explaining to do. See where he's going with this. Tanner Saunders behind the glass. It is Bowerly News Radio 930 WBEN. So I'm polling you about your belief or lack thereof in God. Where are you on this whole God issue? Here is Jackson in Amherst. You are on WBEN. Hello.
Hi, Mr. Bowerly. It's so great to talk to you. I grew up listening to you, and I hope you're doing well today.
No, I was until you said you grew up listening to me, because suddenly I feel like a relic. But anyway, yes, thank
you. No, it's nostalgic for me, and I'm glad I'm able to do this. I'm serious.
I have now entered the realm of nostalgia. Next step, corpse. Anyway.
No, this is really an honor. I'll tell you, basically, like your last caller, I grew up Roman Catholic. I went to a small provincial church, basically. And then once my mind kind of started developing and I got to think for myself, I kind of got to a place where I lost that religion for the most part, I would say. And I just went through school. Now I'm at UB. Long story short, I studied engineering. I'm still at UB for that. And when I get into math, I realize that everything in the universe can be modeled by a mathematical system. So I've taken all the way up until differential equations, and I use them pretty often. And there are certain systems, such as pendulums and even prey-predator relations, that can be modeled via these equations. And I feel, if you can model these, and we can model the whole universe with these equations. I mean, that's why we have physics, right? And then there must be some sort of creator behind that. It's like the programming language of the universe. So that kind of brought me back into God. And then you mentioned the Shroud of Turin. So I would have considered myself at least Jewish, at least believing in a single higher power, maybe not the sun, but then you mentioned the Shroud of Turin. I started getting into the Bible and Jordan Peterson a little bit, and his talks about Exodus and Genesis are phenomenal. And then I started also getting into people like Jonathan Pageau and a couple more of the modern thinkers of the Bible. And I think that's kind of how I got reverted back into my faith.
I think that's really interesting because a lot of the scientific types, I thought this call was going to go in a totally different direction than it did. A lot of scientific types will use science to try to disprove the idea of a grand or great creator. Clearly, you went the other way. I'm not as smart as you are, okay? But it seems to me that when you consider the balance of this planet, you mentioned predator and prey relationships, the fact that we have zones where people can live, zones where people can't live, the world, I don't see how this particular planet could exist without some intelligent, if you want to call it, modeling going on. That doesn't seem to make sense to me. And that's why I can't say I am an atheist.
Mm-hmm. No, actually, it's funny you bring that up. Albert Einstein was an agnostic, raised a Jew, but he was agnostic at the end of his life. He even admitted that there's no way that DNA or even the DNA, the absolute immense scale needed to actually wrap your mind around DNA could have been programmed or via just natural causes. And then he goes up all the way into the macro scale and the super macro scale, right, of the universe. I think it is it Stephen Hawking who's buried in a, I think he's buried in the church now, but he was famously atheist up until the end of his life. And, I mean, Pascal, Blaise Pascal, famous for Pascal's in terms of pressure. He was a Roman Catholic. You could say the same for a lot of the modern Enlightenment thinkers, such as Montesquieu and Rousseau and different figures like that. And even, I would say, Nietzsche was more or less, he definitely was some sort of deist for sure. And he believed that, you know, that God was the central force. You know, the Nazis really distorted the view of Nietzsche, I would say.
Well, they distorted a lot of things. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
I mean, they distorted pretty much everything they touched. But then again, yeah. I'm sorry, so does our government. Yeah. I mentioned this the other day, but it is a matter of record that Reagan's CIA director literally said, "We'll know our disinformation campaign is a success when everything the American people believe is a lie." So I don't know how much better that makes us.
Yeah. But just going back to Nietzsche, I mean, he said, "God is dead and the West has killed it," right? But where he was going with that is the rise of totalitarian regimes. And I wouldn't say there hasn't been a more prophetic person since Dostoevsky and Jesus Christ himself. I mean, you saw the rise of fascism, right? You saw the rise of totalitarian states, Stalin, Mussolini, Adolf Hitler, and so on and so forth. And with that, I believe, has been because of the loss of God itself and the loss of our way as Western society. It's amazing that a society such as Germany could have had Bach and Beethoven, but have been able to systematically kill nearly 10 million people.
Obviously, this is a question that has stumped historians and psychologists for a very long time. And I do find it interesting. You mentioned Stalin. The Bolsheviks were very, very big on being iconoclasts, literally. They did away with a lot of the churches. They persecuted a lot of the bishops until the Wehrmacht was within about 8 miles of Moscow. Suddenly, people were allowed to start praying again and go to the cathedrals, which I thought was pretty interesting timing on Stalin's part. And Stalin killed more people than Hitler. And I'm not saying, hey, Hitler was a great guy. What I'm saying is Stalin was a no good SOB. I mean, let's put it this way. When the Nazis come rolling into your town and you greet them as your liberator, you know how bad Stalin was. Especially in Ukraine. And that does not exculpate any of what the SS or Himmler or Hitler did whatsoever, obviously, lest I be taken out of context. But the I mean, you raise, obviously, some very good points. So in America today, where do you think God ranks on people's list of priorities? I mean, we've talked about relatively recent history with Hitler and Stalin, and you mentioned Einstein and Hawking. In the United States, where do you think God is as a priority?
Definitely not in my generation, which is Gen Z, and then probably millennials too, I would say. Definitely bottom tier. It's unfortunate. I think a lot of people have replaced God with government, especially when it comes to, you know, thinking that an all-powerful government will ultimately satisfy everything that you will need in life. However, there's always that sense of self-belonging that and a self-need that a government can not always establish, and even, I would argue, take away, given tyranny. And I think you see this a lot, especially in Exodus. And then also, I'm not sure if you know this, you probably do, Mr. Bowerly, but I believe it was James Madison and Benjamin Franklin who proposed the idea of the Jews leaving Egypt as like the first crest of the United States, the first seal of the United States, because we were the Americans, we were the people who fled Europe. So this is the promised land, right? But, you know, we don't view America as a promised land anymore. We view America as some sort of, you know, a place where government shall rule and dictate our lives. And it's unfortunate that it's come to that. And I feel like every generation it's only increased and it's usurped God from our lives.
Look, I mean, I think you make some very interesting points, and I have not had a chance to look this up myself, but somebody told me the other day, and again, I did not verify this, so this might just be somebody talking out of his arse, but the average American IQ has gone down by 15 points over the last 50 years, which is not a very good sign, because IQ is very overrated, but it does allow you, I think, to think in a more critical way towards the baloney that we are fed on a daily basis, whether it's from governments or whatever. But the interesting thing about Ben Franklin, my ears perked up. Ben Franklin was a notorious member of the Hellfire Club. Ben Franklin was, as some people would say, a swinger. He was in the lifestyle, baby.
Yeah, he's definitely an interesting personality. Again, a lot of people refer to a lot of our early founding fathers as deists. However, if you look into these figures, they wouldn't match the Enlightenment sense of the word at all, especially with the proposal of, you know, different natures and different thoughts that they came up with, like using, for instance, the endowed rights that we have from God, which is, you know, it's a derivative from John Locke. But John Locke, where did John Locke get that? He got it from Thomas Hobbes. Where did Thomas Hobbes get that? I mean, it's this whole idea of classical liberalism, which stems from the Bible and God eventually. And you got to look back at that.
There's a lot of, I don't want to say misinformation, but there's a lot of confusion and uncertainty as to which of the founding fathers were and were not deists. Yeah. It's pretty well accepted that toward the end of his life, Thomas Jefferson was a deist, who is somebody who believes in God, but that's about as far as they're willing to go. I would love to have a conversation with Ben Franklin about, Mr. Franklin, how do you reconcile your lifestyle with your love of the Old Testament? I'll hang up and listen. Thank you very much. I appreciate the call. Good stuff, man. Good stuff. Call again, and just don't call me Mr. Bowerly, because I'm going through a an old life crisis right now, and I don't need to be reminded of it.
All right, thank you so much.
No, thank you. I appreciate the call. Interesting stuff there from a guy with scientific background. So I'm resurrecting a topic that I did over the summer. What is your personal belief in God? And you might have no belief in God. That's fine. I would call myself a deist, but I do have a deep fascination with the New Testament, and I am almost obsessed with the Shroud of Turin, okay? Because I'm an evidence-based individual, okay? It's one thing to say something or to read something in a book, but you show me physical evidence that cannot be refuted, and I'm going to sit up and I'm going to take notice. And, you know, this has happened in my life, although certainly not on a scale of Jesus. Let's go to Tony in West Valley. Tony, you are on WBEN.
Well, good afternoon, sir. How are you doing today?
Yes, sir.
Hey, I am a devout Christian. I believe in God. I always have, until recently. About several years ago, when I started doing consciousness studies, I realized that there is a lot of scientific evidence that God exists. But God is not in another place. God is within us all. I believe that we are the expression of God consciousness, and that we're all going to return to that. We are God, each of us. And we are connected in ways that a lot of people don't understand. And we're just now coming into the understanding of something that recently changed my paradigm about how I think about God is when I had a near-death experience. And
I got to hear about this. What you're saying is Deus ubique est. God is everywhere.
Yes, and in every single atom. I don't know if you're familiar with the boson particle, that thing that holds everything together and gives everything life. I think science can prove that God does exist, and that God exists, and that energy that is God in every atomic structure that is in everything that we know to be reality can be altered by us also. And I think Jesus Christ was a great example of that in the way he performed miracles. I believe that we can perform miracles like Jesus Christ could or did, and much more than that. We can alter our reality. I really believe that.
I want to talk to you further about this, because when you say alter our reality, if we take it out of the God realm and put it into the personal growth realm, it's very interesting, because somebody of whom I think very much has said it's not so much what happens to you, it is how you react to what happens to you. And that's kind
exactly.
of it's kind of what you are saying, and I'd like to talk further with you about it after the news break, if that is okay with you.
Sure.
By the way, guys, I cannot even begin to thank you for the outstanding calls that we have had on this God topic. I told you I would bring it back, and the first time we did it, it was great, and already it is phenomenal. And I'm not going to... I mean, why would I yell and scream at you over your faith? And honestly, I expect the same respect. I have a very strong faith that there is a God. And I've said this many a time on the air, so it certainly isn't breaking news. But the only thing, I don't pray for the Bills to win a football game. My only prayer is, thy will be done. And to me, as I've said before, that just shows my complete submission to the will of God. Because I do believe in God, I just don't know which one is the right one. Is it Horus, the sun god? Is it Jesus and the Trinity? I have no idea. And I think it's unknowable. But at the same time, I am fascinated by New Testament Christianity, and I'm almost obsessed with the Shroud of Turin for the reasons I previously have explained, because that would be pretty convincing physical evidence of a supernatural power that could only be ascribed to a deity or an alien. It is 4:57. There is that theory out there, by the way. 4:57 at News Radio 930 WBEN. What a great, great half hour of radio. My goodness.